God, would you just burn in us in a way that only you can? Holy Spirit, would your power and presence remain here with us? God, as you speak and as you teach to us here today, would we hear from you? God, we surrender all to you here in this moment. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go ahead and take a seat. You know, as you're probably aware, today is kind of a holiday. It's Super Bowl Sunday. And I feel like I'm very close to on the edge of feedback. If you can just tone me down, I'll speak a little louder on my end. Thank you, Marcus. And so today is Super Bowl Sunday, and I don't know about you, but for me, this year feels a little different as a Lions fan, because we were so close. Like it's like we were almost there. It was almost us in the Super Bowl, and so I feel like I don't know if I really care as much this year, because it's like, oh, what could have been? You know what I mean? Like, it's, oh, we were right there, and if you can't tell, I'm still grieving that loss from a couple years, weeks ago. It hurts deep in my soul. I was actually thinking this week just about the players that are playing tonight and all the hard work that it took for them to get there. And, you know, the hours and hours of dedication, and, you know, they go to the gym and they bulk up, they get bigger, and they do all this weight training. They do Pilates to loosen their muscles and to remain flexible. And they do all of this really, really intense study that they have to do of watching film and watching the other team's plays and seeing where they were successful and where they weren't successful, and what they can do on their end to win the game. And so they put in hours and hours and hours and hours of training, and years and years and years and years of their lives have been dedicated to this one thing. And at one point, now it comes to the point where, like, all the hard work is going to pay off. Like this is the day that they all dream about when they're kids. Like we're in the Super Bowl. We have the chance to win the championship. And they're like, yes, it's finally here. Like, I can just imagine the excitement in the locker room. I'm sure there's nervousness too. But there's so much excitement about, hey, we made it. We're finally here. Like all of the hard work is going to pay off. But I want you just to imagine with me for a moment something, if it were to happen tonight. I just want you to picture this. You know, all of the spectacle happens of the Super Bowl, right? Like the big introduction, they go through the whole video of, like, oh, here's their season. Look at all these awesome wins. Like they do all of that. The national anthem is sung, and it's this big production thing. And you know, the coin toss goes out there, and there's people who we don't even really know that are flipping coins, and nobody really cares about that point, right? And then finally, like, it comes ready for them to actually play the game. And the players, like, do you know what they do to start the game? They all gather together in what's called a huddle, right? And in the huddle, they get instruction, they get to play, they get told what they're going to do. But I just want you to imagine with me, what if they never broke the huddle? What if the players tonight stayed right there? In the huddle, going over the play time and time and time again. It'd be so disappointing for us. You know, tonight, if that were to happen, they would cut to Taylor Swift 100 times, right? You know, I don't know how long I would stand watching the game if they just stood there in a huddle. It'd be really disappointing. See, church is a place where we're meant to come for instruction. We come for inspiration, too. Much like a huddle in football, this is the place where we're meant to get the play. But we have to break the huddle. We have to go and execute if we want to be successful. Amen. Thank you. See, today, that's what we're talking about. How we're meant to focus on the very fact that we are meant to live the mission. Like, this is something we're meant to do. We're all called to live the mission that Jesus has given us. And so I want to ask you a question to start today. Are you staying in the huddle? See, the thing is, this idea is not anything new. This idea that we're meant to go and we're meant to go and live the mission, it's nothing new. Jesus actually had words on this very idea of people not living the mission. In Matthew 9, 37 through 38, Jesus says these very words to his disciples. It says this, it says, he said to his disciples, I'm not lying, I told you, he told it to them. He says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him and he'll send more workers into his fields. This is still a very real problem that we face today. We're given our instructions and we're told what to do, but yet we stay in our huddle. On Monday, I was here in this room during our time of prayer, and I sat in the back row over here. And as I was praying there, it dawned on me that, oh, it's been 1 year that I've been here as the lead pastor. And I just spent time reflecting and praying and asking God, okay, God, this was year one. What do you have in store for year two? And God, what is year five? What does year 10 look like? And then I started to pray and ask the question, God, who do we need to be? What is it you need to do in us in order for us to get there? And I wrote down some things that I believe God wants for us. I want to share one of them with you today. I believe one of the things that God wants for us is for us to be people who love the lost. See, I long for the day where Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, we hear stories of people coming to know Jesus. Amen? Like I long for the day where there is not a Sunday that goes by where we haven't heard a story of somebody giving their life to Jesus. And here's the thing. I don't want it to be because of what I say from this platform, but I want to hear about the stories of your workplaces, of the community you live, of your neighborhoods, of your family and your friends, of people coming to know Jesus. But that starts with us living the mission. We have to break our huddles and go and play the game. I can't wait to celebrate those moments. And I believe they are coming. But that's why I'm so fired up about this message. It's because we have to start taking it really seriously. It starts with us living the mission and living like Jesus. Jesus said in his own words, he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He also said these words. He said, not everyone who calls Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says, only those who do the will of the Father will. If you don't get it, you want to know, I'm going to share this with you. We're the problem. We're the problem. But it's not a problem for us to just figure out on our own. Because Jesus tells us what to do. He says, this is a very real problem. But here's the answer to it. And in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus says these words. Jesus came to his disciples and he told them, he said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus calls his disciples into a final huddle, and he says, here's the deal. Here's what you're meant to do. This passage is known as the Great Commission. And the reason why it's called that is because it's serious business. The reason why it's called the Great Commission is because it's great in its nature. It's huge. It's wide. Like, go make disciples of all nations. Like, that feels really impossible, right? It's this great mission that God, that Jesus has given to his people. And why we call it the commission is because the disciples are commissioned to go. To be commissioned means you're given a charge, you're given instruction and direction, and a commission is meant to be met with radical loyalty. And so that's what these disciples committed to meet this mission with a radical loyalty. When one is commissioned and they're deployed to serve, they serve for life. In the military, when a ship is commissioned, it's given a name. And what does it do? It goes out and does that very specific assignment that it's meant to do. Following his resurrection, Jesus gives his disciples a commission. And he says, go and make disciples. It's a very strategic assignment. And now you can say, well, that was given to the disciples. I'm not one of them. You're right, we're not one of the 12, but we're still meant to be disciples of Jesus. It's for all of us. And as disciples of Jesus, we're meant to do what he calls us to do, right? And that means that we live in the way Jesus lived, and we do what he did, and we do what his disciples did. And that means that we do what? We go and make disciples. And so I want to do something today. I just want to break this down for us, this great commission. I want to break it down for us into parts so that we can fully understand what that means for us. And so we're going to start by looking at the word go. And actually, in the Greek, actually a better translation for the word that's used there should be as you go. As you go. And so what that means is this isn't something new. It means that it's something that we do as we're already living as a disciple of Jesus. And so what that means is that as you go, wherever you may go, whatever you do, you are to make disciples. Excuse me. And so as we go, what does that mean? It means we make disciples and we don't just make decisions. What's unique about this phrase of make disciples is that it is actually the only direct action that we are meant to be doing in the Great Commission. The rest that Jesus says are actually passive instructions, meaning that as we are going, we are to be making disciples. That's a direct command from Jesus in the Greek language. He says, go and make disciples. And it's disciples, not decisions. And why is that? Is because a disciple, when we make disciples, we provide an orientation for people's lives. It means that we give them the way that they're meant to live. That when they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're meant to live their life differently. It's not just about a decision, but it's a decision that changes their entire life. And see, this meant something back in the time of Jesus. The way Jesus went to his people and the way that they knew and understood what a disciple was or an apprentice was because it was very common in their time. Apprenticeships were known for during their day. And so what it would look like is if you were somebody's apprentice, you spent every moment with that person, learning and doing what they did, in hopes that one day you would become like them. That's why we're meant to make disciples, because our job is not to just have a decision, but our job is to be more and more and more and more like Jesus, right? And so we're meant to make disciples, not just a decision. Leading people to a decision to make for Jesus is great, but it's also confusing. Because then what? What's next? I had a friend of mine once say that we're really good at just leading people to a cross and then we leave them there to figure it out themselves. See, but when we make disciples, it means that we teach people how to live in the very way of Jesus. It's a very hands-on experience. It's deep It's an ongoing process that we're meant to walk with others. It's a process of learning how to actually follow Jesus, what that looks like, how we do that. It involves the process of what it means to love others, how to grow in our relationship with Jesus, how to give generously, and ultimately, we're meant to walk with people and make disciples that make other disciples that live the mission. To be a disciple of Jesus is to become like Jesus. And so then to make disciples is to teach others and to show them how to become like Jesus. And this is what we're called to do. And this call to make disciples is not just for some, but it's for all of us. It's for all nations. No one is excluded in this invitation. When we look at the lives of the 12 disciples, and we go back in their time, they were used to kingdoms rising and falling. They knew war. They knew national disputes. And their national disputes were not solved by diplomats. They were solved on a battlefield. The call to all nations was very breathtakingly wide for the disciples. And honestly, it still is today. But in the kingdom of God, there is no room for an enemy. In the kingdom of God, there is no room for others. In the kingdom of God, there is no room for outsiders in Jesus' commission. Jesus says that everybody is included. All nations are included in the call to go and make disciples. And we're meant to go and make disciples of all nations. And this is a very echo of God's heart for humanity. In 1 Timothy 2:4, Paul's writing to a young pastor friend of his named Timothy. And he mentors Timothy. And this is what he says. He says, God wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. The truth that Paul is communicating is that Jesus gave his life to purchase the freedom for everyone, not just some. So that means for us that we're meant to go. We're meant to make disciples of all nations because Jesus died for all of us and not just some of us. God's forgiveness and God's mercy are for all. And everyone should know this truth, that Jesus died to purchase their freedom. And now they don't have to live in the addiction, in this sin, in the shame that they once lived in. But now they can live their life differently because of Jesus. We then are not to exclude people from the mission. Jesus came to seek and save all those who are lost, not just some. And as his disciples, that means that we're meant to go seek and save the lost. So then how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we go? How do we make disciples as we live our lives? It starts by baptizing people. Baptism is not the means by which we are saved, but it's an outward display of our inward belief. It's a moment where we declare our very allegiance to Jesus, and we say, I'm going to partner with him in the mission that he's calling me to. Ooh, excuse me, I didn't mute myself. My bad. Can you mute me? Or not, that's cool. Baptism is meant to be a transformation of our identity. It's that we're no longer lost in the world, but it's saying that we've been found by Jesus. And we're now going to live as his disciple. And I love that just a few weeks ago, we got to experience baptisms together. We got to witness people drawing that line in the sand saying, I belong to Jesus. And there's still proof of it. There's marks on the seats over there where people sat down when they were wet. Like, you can still see that people got baptized. And I love that we can do baptisms in the Wesleyan church that we belong to. We can do baptisms in different ways. We can submerge you, which is what we did a couple weeks ago. Or we can pour water on one's head. Or we can sprinkle. Like there's no way that it has to be done. And that's because that's not what really matters. What matters is that we're claiming that we belong to Jesus. And for the rest of our life, we're going to follow him and do as he did. And that's what we're meant to do with our disciples. We're meant to bring them to the point where they have to make that decision that for the rest of my life, I'm going to choose to follow Jesus and do as he did. And they draw the line in the sand. One of the ways that we continue to make disciples is by teaching them. In the church, we use this word, we call it discipleship. And what that means is it makes it really simple that we walk with other people in their relationship with Jesus. It means that we learn together and we grow together. That we should read, study, and learn all about following Jesus, but the real learning doesn't come in a static posture, but our real learning comes in an active movement. See, when Jesus went to his disciples, do you know what his invitation was? He said, "Follow me." That involved them doing something. That involved them laying down everything, following him for the rest of their lives. I'm going to say this, and please just know my heart in it. But perhaps there are some of us, and maybe many of us, that we need to just stop learning about following Jesus, and we need to start following Jesus. That means that we have to break the huddle. We have to get into the game, and we have to do as Jesus did. So what does that look like then? It means that we learn, we do, we teach, and we repeat. We learn, we do, we teach, we repeat. And we don't do any of that on our own power, but we do that as we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, Jesus gave these words to his disciples. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We are not left to just figure it out on our own. But on the day of Pentecost, God poured out his very Holy Spirit on the people, and that very Holy Spirit is still in us today. And we're empowered by that Holy Spirit. And we're empowered to do. Meaning we actually follow through what we learn. And we're commanded to do. By the power of the Holy Spirit. It means that we live as we're meant to. It means that we teach. Not because we have all the answers, but because the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is guiding us. And we continue to repeat this process. And again, this is for all of us. We all are meant to learn. We all are meant to do. We all are meant to teach. We all are meant to repeat the process over and over and over again. Why? Because we are all chosen. The traditional practice during the time of Jesus was that if one wanted to go and learn to be a disciple or be an apprentice of somebody, they would go to that person and they would say, "I want to be your apprentice." And the apprentice or the rabbi or whoever it was would be like, no, at times. They'd reject him. Here's the thing. Jesus came to us. And he invites all of us to follow him. And we've all been given the command that as disciples, we've been given the command and we're actually meant to live it, that we are to go and we are to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. This is the goal, that it's a continuing process of making disciples. More people that would follow Jesus, be with him, be like him, and do as he did. And we're all empowered, we're all given the power of the Holy Spirit to make disciples, but we have to choose to surrender to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have to get rid of our own agendas, get rid of our fears, and live in his power and his presence. I want to share with you a story of why this matters so much to me. There's going to be some pictures that come up on the screen. On the right, you can see that's a photo of my friend and I, Andy. That's little, I call that baby Joel, but that was like 7 years ago. That's what I look like without a beard. It's weird, guys. But my friend Andy is on the right there. And then on this photo on the left, Andy's the one closest to us. And my brother Kyle is next to him, my brother Justin, and my brother Lance is in the back of him. And the photo here on the left is taken at a place called Houghton College. And it's in Houghton, New York. And it's a very special place to me. It's where I went to youth camp growing up. And that photo on the left is really meaningful to me. I knew I was going to share this story all week, and it's still getting me. There's a story behind it. Andy on the right over here, on the left on that side, at the time that photo was taken, leading up to it, Andy never believed in Jesus. We'd gotten to know Andy through mutual friends, and it was really interesting. Kyle, my brother in the middle, you can't really see him, but the guy on the far right led our youth group, and my brother Kyle actually fought with Justin to get Andy to go to camp. Andy was 20 at the time and was going to go as an adult leader, but our church was like, why would we send a person who doesn't believe in Jesus to lead a small group of kids who are learning to follow Jesus? Like, it doesn't make sense. But my brother Kyle fought and fought and fought and said, I'll lead the group with him. Like, Andy needs to be there. I know God's going to work in his life. I know God's going to do something powerful. And it was incredibly cool. And Kyle, I remember, persisted and won. And at the time, Kyle was actually an intern at our church. And he said to Justin, he said, if it doesn't work out, you can fire me. That photo is taken in the northeast corner of the quad of Houghton College. That's the very moment Andy gave his life to Jesus. On March 3rd in 2018, Andy passed away from a heart attack at 28 years old. Andy's life since that moment looked completely different. Andy was a party animal in college. From that moment on, all of his addictions went away. We had a house church. Andy started bringing all the people that he partied with to our house church. Over 20 people gave their life to Jesus because of Andy. Because people believed in him, people discipled him, people lived the mission. My brothers lived the mission. And I know that Andy is in heaven in this, at this very moment, because of this moment, and because of people taking it very serious, that we're meant to go and make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. I tell you, I miss my friend Andy a lot. He was the kindest person. He means the world to me. I actually wear a bracelet, and it's never come off since the moment Andy passed. To remember Andy, and to remember that the mission matters. See, the thing is, we have the answer in Jesus. And Jesus has given us the instructions. He says, go and make disciples. We've been empowered to do so by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that's alive and active in us. But yet we still sit in a huddle and we never break it and we never go out and play the game. Church, I want to see our community transformed. I want to see the lost become found. I want to see lives changed. I want to see transformation happen. But it begins with us. The harvest is plentiful, but we're the problem. The workers are few. And so I want us to be different. I want us to actually go and play the game so we can see the lost be found, so we can see this place be transformed by Jesus. And I hope that you're with me in that. I really hope you're with me. And know that I'm not just preaching to you. My own dad doesn't know Jesus. And I need to have a conversation with him. I want to tell him all about the freedom that's found in Jesus. But how his life can be changed. And it starts with me living the mission. So this morning, I just have a few questions that I want us to reflect on. And we're going to go into a time of quiet reflection, where we're just going to have some music playing, and we just want you to reflect on these two questions. The first one is, what are you learning that you can teach someone else? One of the greatest ways we can begin to live the mission is by sharing with other people the very thing that we're learning. And it also helps cement it in us. It actually makes it a learned thing that when we teach it, it helps make it stick in our brain. And so what are you learning that you can teach someone else? Then the second question says that as you go, meaning as you are already living your life, as you're already at your workplaces, in your communities, in your families, wherever you are, who do you already know that doesn't know Jesus? So we're going to give you time just to pray over these questions today, to reflect. And then after a few moments, we're going to invite you to respond. And the way we're going to ask you to do that is we have some poster boards up here where we're just going to invite you to come and write a name down on a sticky note and place it on the board. Write the name down of the person that doesn't know Jesus in your life. We're going to ask you to place it on the board because that makes it more real. That makes it that we're taking ownership and we're going to do what Jesus commands us to do. So I've already written my name down because I knew that was coming. But I just want to invite you to go into this time of reflection. So I just want to pray with you. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you that you gave us your son Jesus who purchased our freedom from our sin. And God, that's not the end of the story, though. You still want to work in us and through us and want other people to come to know the freedom that is found in you. And so, Lord, today as we ask for a name, God, would you speak very clearly on who we're meant to pray for, who we're meant to go to, who we're meant to share the gospel with? God, would you speak in this place by the very power and presence of your Holy Spirit? And God, give us a specific name right now in our hearts and in our minds. Would you give us a name? So, Lord, as we reflect, as we quiet ourselves, would you speak and help us be attentive and listen? Just have a few final words for you. And it's really simple. Let's go and make disciples. You're dismissed.